had in over 100 years. How do you explain that some parts of the city have been hit so badly and yet others like yours appear relatively unscathed? How do we explain that?
Well, I think that's true in any major disaster in a large area, that the patterns of damage can be very uneven. And I know in past hurricanes, I have relatives who were in Florida for Hurricane Andrew, for example, and while my relatives' houses were relatively undamaged, their immediate neighbors had houses that were completely destroyed. And I think here in New York, I think it's a little less arbitrary, that as I think the weather predictions were very accurate, and in fact the advisories issued by the city in terms of which neighborhoods were likely to flood, unfortunately turned out to be largely correct. And so friends and acquaintances that we had in the neighborhoods that were close to the river or in low-lying areas in lower Manhattan did in fact get flooding, as in fact they had been warned to expect. In other neighborhoods, things are quite normal, and especially if power hasn't been interrupted, I think life continues as normal as it can be, the only exception being that all public transportation is still not operating, and that makes it difficult for people to get to work and businesses to reopen.
Thank you very much indeed, Sam. Best wishes to you. Dwight and Jeff, both listening on WCPN in Cleveland. I was asking those of you in that city to help me understand what was happening there. World Have You Say was in town a couple of weeks ago. Dwight says, "We've never seen anything like this. I spent the night fighting for boats at the marina. Nobody has had to need to tie their lines, and the docks aren't designed to handle this kind of wind. I had a tree down in my front lawn that's been threatening to fall for years. No reports of injury, but it feels like we are in the middle of a never-ending tornado. The Coast Guard won't let me go sailing." That's probably wise advice he's giving you, Dwight. And Jeff, also in Cleveland, says, "I just watched Governor Romney talk about shifting federal funds to states and indicating that FEMA, which is the emergency agency here in the states, would play a lesser role in future storms as a result. This is indicative of how Governor Romney's 'we have ours, you get your own' attitude permeates everything." And that's an old clip. I think I saw that on a couple of news networks. He said it during a primary debate earlier this year. But those who would quite like to see Governor Romney lose this election have been making a big deal of it today. If you have seen that clip, you're welcome to give us your response to it. And as I was mentioning, the politicians can't be seen to be doing politics today. Mitt Romney's been in Ohio, but he's been at an event to help to raise funds and to organize support for people who've been affected. Paul Ryan, his running mate, has been up in Wisconsin. Barack Obama has been monitoring the situation from Washington, D.C. None of the candidates can be seen to be politicking, but of course they are very much watching next Tuesday, and they've got to get it right. They've got to get their tone right, or voters may punish them for getting it wrong. Margaret's posted on facebook.com/worldhaveyoursay and says, "Did the ocean meet the bay on all the barrier islands in New Jersey and New York?" Well, Margaret, I don't know if it's all the barrier islands. It certainly did happen on some, because Philippa was just telling us. So by all means, if those of you listening know more about those barrier islands, we can give Margaret more information. Morgan's just emailed the BBC. "We lost power at 7 p.m. yesterday. There are lots of trees down, and we witnessed transformers blowing out. The wind was as strong as you would get during a storm back in Ireland. But over here, the key differences are the wooden structure homes. Our house swayed over and back last night. Basements prone to flooding, huge oak trees in your backyard. It's not suitable for suburbia," Morgan says, "and densely populated areas in proximity to the water. I'm an electrician. I'm getting many calls today, mainly to hook up generators." I can imagine, Morgan. I'm surprised you've had time to email the BBC. But those of you listening, if you would like to do that to help us report on the situation with Superstorm Sandy, you're very welcome to email worldhaveyoursay@bbc.com. Now, you don't need me to tell you that New York is an extremely big business town. It's one of the commercial centres of the world. And for the first time in years, the New York Stock Exchange has been shut for 2 days in a row. Let's bring in Michael Panzer, who's publisher of PanzerInsights.com, which is a markets and economics website. Hi, Michael. Thanks for your time today.
Hi there. Thanks for having me.
Well, we'll talk about the economy in just a moment, but first things first, how was the night for you?
Well, it wasn't too bad. I mean, I think your previous commentator noted the fact that things were inconsistent. We're talking about a big area. There are some regions near where I am, which is in the southern part of the city, which were very, very dramatically affected. But others were not so bad. It was just windy and rainy and a little wet.
And what about the money side of things? The stock exchange shut for 2 days. I mean, it's extraordinary, isn't it? And it will have presumably extraordinary consequences.
Well, it's hard to say specifically. I think the thing that is more important, I mean, there's a number of ways you could look at the shutdown. From the point of view of U.S. being a very Wall Street, New York being a very Wall Street-oriented economy, clearly that lack of economic activity, the lack of spending, say, that workers might have on lunches, on going out, on doing things, going around and traveling around the city, will have a sort of direct economic impact. The real question, obviously, is whether it has a broader impact on the markets per se. And I'm not so sure. I think the focus still has to remain on the state of the economy, has to remain on the fact that the New York region, and I'm really talking about the tri-state region, which includes New Jersey, Connecticut, and New York, has a tremendous economic influence over the country as a whole and certainly over the course of the economy going forward. So that's probably the more relevant factor than perhaps the idea that the markets are closed.
And run me through the practicalities of this. When a market shuts for 2 days, the stock exchange shuts for 2 days, what happens on the third day? Is it just another regular day, or do they have to go through certain procedures to catch up with the other markets they haven't been able to trade with?
Well, I think there's somewhat an element of flux there. I mean, the context here is that markets are electronic, markets are global, there are relationships between markets. So there's not a sense that there's going to be a complete void that they're opening up in. I mean, we have, for example, index futures, which trade really around the clock. They've been on an abbreviated schedule the past couple of days, but they give you a sense of where value should be. They give you a sense of what people can expect, what investors can expect. So it's not like walking into a sort of black room, a black hole, and saying, what's going to happen? We also had movements in European markets. We had movements in Asian markets. And all of that creates a much more tangible picture of where things stand than if we just walked in and everybody was blindsided and had no idea what was going on.
Now, I've got a question here from Peter on Facebook. I appreciate this is going slightly out of your area of expertise, but I'll try it on you anyway. Peter wants to know if people in New York and real estate companies have flood insurance for their homes, or whether the taxpayer in America will have to pick up the bill for a lot of the damage to houses.
Well, I think there's, I'm not an expert, certainly, and I think there's two components to this. There's the public sector component and the private sector component. Now, the public sector clearly doesn't have insurance. What they do is they fund their own repairs, and that comes out of the public purse, and ultimately could have either a dramatic impact on spending programs, a dramatic impact on taxes. That's somewhere down the road, but I think it's a very real risk, especially in an environment where people are becoming more concerned about the level of government debt, more concerned about the deficits that have been at fairly extraordinary levels the past few years. Now, on the private side, it's my general understanding, and again, I'm not an expert, that flood insurance on the whole, unless you specifically go out and buy a policy geared to flood insurance, is not typically covered under homeowners type policies. So it does create a situation where some people might have had savings in the bank to pay for clothing or pay for, you know, some other kind of expense. We'll have to pull that out and use that to make repairs, which, you know, there's a lot of economists running around saying, hey, this is good for the economy because people will be spending money on construction, et cetera. Well, it may be true for certain segments of the economy, but all we're really doing is taking money from one pot and putting it into another pot, not necessarily the pot that people would choose to put the money in. And I don't know if it's necessarily the positive that some economists make out.
Stay with us if you can, Michael. We're going to speak to a businessman in East Texas in just a moment. I'm curious to ask those of you listening, though, in the eastern side of the United States, if your house gets damaged by a storm like this, do you have insurance which covers it, or do you just have to dip into your savings? And if you don't have savings, are you just in trouble? I'd be interested to hear that explained. I think a lot of our listeners would like some more experiences of yours on that front. So worldhaveyoursay@bbc.com is a good way of getting us, or you can tweet using the hashtag WHYS. Lots of you in Ohio are letting us know how you're faring. Shannon says, I'm listening to you on WCPN on my battery-powered radio. I live in a rural area and the electricity routinely shuts down during the winter. We're used to this. I really feel for people who live in urban areas that have been hit so hard. It's a nightmare to try and get food. And Debbie, also tuned to WCPN, said, we have lots of rain and flooding and very high winds. The lake's still pounding the shoreline and parts of the highway are closed as the water still comes to shore. Trees down, pylons down, most of all schools are shut and several businesses were shut this morning. And she says, I want to give a big thank you to the couple who stopped last night while I was walking home from work. They saw me holding onto a pole as the wind was so strong. I was being blown into 9th Street. So if that couple's listening, Debbie would like to say thank you very much. Still with us is Michael Panzer, publisher of panzerinsights.com. And Michael, let me introduce you to David Crace, who is a medical supplies entrepreneur in Texas. Hi, David. Thanks for coming on.
Oh, thank you. Hello.
I understand you do a lot of business with companies based in the areas which have been affected. So I'm anticipating that you'll have some knock-on effects.
Yes, we have. Actually, I'm on business travel right now in Texas, but I live in New Orleans, and I went through Hurricane Katrina in New Orleans, and actually I was an economic development official years ago. I served on several of the committees on rebuilding New Orleans after Hurricane Katrina, so I'm very familiar with hurricane damage and the after effects of it and precautions taken in the hurricane zone. But we use several medical software companies, and that are based in New York City, and our medical record system went down due to Hurricane Sandy, and we've also do a lot of work with the FDA through medical products that we commercialize and bring to market. So we always work with the FDA and the government officials in the Bethesda and D.C. area, and with them being shut down and affected, that's also impacted our business.
And this, I suppose, is the question, and Michael, you could perhaps come in on this as well, that people are wondering is how far will the knock-on impact be if businesses are affected here on the eastern side of the states? You know, will that knock on to the rest of America and even beyond? Because after all, most of the people listening to this program are listening outside of America.
Well, I think there's two issues in particular, and this is not to slight that region of the country, but clearly the economic influence, the size of the population, and other aspects, you know, the being the financial nerve center of the country, New York, the tri-state region, does have an outsized influence on the state of the U.S. economy. That's the first point, compared to, say, down in New Orleans and down in the sort of more southern parts of the country. The other side of it is, and I think the comparison that's been made recently, is between now and what happened during the Hurricane Katrina era. But don't forget that during that time, the economy was still somewhat resilient. We were in the throes of a housing bubble. Consumers were still spending money hand over fist. The sort of perspective then was different than it is now. I mean, now we have a situation where governments and individuals are under fiscal pressures. We're seeing warnings from companies around the globe.